Okay, today's daf is Ksubas daf Lamed Tes. As we continue in the last couple of daf above Eilan Aharos, and we are still discussing the sugyas of Knasos. The Mishnah had spoken yesterday. Are there limits as to when the Ma'anes has to pay? So we spoke about what happens if the Na'ara had already gone through Erisin. So that was a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that, okay, she loses the Knas. The Knas is only for a woman who's never had anything done. Right? No Erisin, no Nisuin, nothing. While Rabbi Akiva says, no, it just changes. She has a Knas if she's an Arusa right now, then there's no Knas because there's a Chiyamisa. But if she's not an Arusa right now, she was, so then, according to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, she gets the Knas. According to Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa, even her father still gets the Knas there. And even though the Gzeira Shava is Oker, the Pasup Shat Lagamre, but still, that's what happens sometimes. What is the reason for the fact that we take a Gzeira Shava, the Gemara said, and we have a Gzeirah Shavah too, Onis Mafate, and then we have a Pasuk that we are Oker Lagamre. So we said we'd rather do that with Besula, Velo Be'ula, and not Arusa, Velo Lo Arusa, because Ha'ishtani Gufa, Velo Ha'lo Ishtani Gufa. That was an important line. Okay, so let's continue now to where we are up to. We just related to Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah and the Braisa. So Tana Rabbanan, about 7 lines up from the bottom, Lamed Chesem Abase. Knas Salami. So who gets the Knas? In this case, where she had Nisarsa already, La Avia the Yesh Omrim La Atzma. So the Gemara quotes the two deos. La Atzma Amai. What do you mean to herself? Amarav Chizda Hacha Benarish is Azmas Kashaskina. I already gave away the Maskana in the Havamina. The Havamina was just a separate statement. The Knas goes to her. What do you mean the Knas goes to her? It's a Pasuk in Chumash. So the answer is, the machlokas is about a case of a Nara that had Erisin and then Gerishin. The kamiflagi beplukta to Rabbi Akiva, de Mastisa, Rabbi Akiva, de Braisa. And the machlokas is between Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah and of the Braisa. And it's always important to remember whenever we have a machlokas tanoim about what a Tana said, the Rashi in Ksubis on Daf Nun Zion or so, where Rashi says, though we have the principle of Elu ve'elu, Divri Elokim Chayim, which always applies whenever we have a machlokes, Mutar Asar Pater Chayev v'chulu, you could only say that if there are really two different opinions. But if there's the same opinion, meaning there's one person that said one thing, and the Talmidim heard it, one of the Talmidim heard incorrectly. The Rebbe couldn't have said two different things. If the Rebbe spoke at two different times, and maybe he was Choserbo, then maybe you could even say Elu ve'elu there. What was the Havamina and Rebbe Akiva? What was the Maskana of Rebbe Akiva? But if Rebbe Akiva only gave one shear about this, and the Talmidim heard it, and one of them heard incorrectly, so then Rashi says that's a limit to Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, because it's the same person talking. If it's the same person talking, he could only have said one thing unless he changed his mind. So that's Rashi in Maseches, actually here. Let's look it up. We are actually learning Zubas. So Rashi says, there on Nun Zayin of an Aleph on the bottom. The Chipligi Tri Aliba Dechad, Mara Machad Hachar Merploni, Mara Machachar Merploni, Chad Minayu Meshaker. One of them is lying, says Rashi there. Aval Chipligi Tri Amoroi Bedin, O Beisr Veheter, Kol Chad Amar Hachi Mistaver Taima, Ein Kan Sheker. But if they're each saying their own opinion, and it's a Machlokes, Halacha believes in multiple truths. Ein kan sheker. Kol chad v'chad svaradi deka amar. Mar yov taima le tera, mar yov taima le isura. Mar madami milsa la milsa hachi, umar madami milsa la milsa minyan achrina. Vikala meymar, elu ve'elu divri elokim chayim. And you can say that, right, because that's the way that what we believe, right? Unlike every other area of study in the world, where there's one truth, Halacha believes in multiple truths. And they're both right. If we could understand that. And the Maharal gives the mashal of a tree. A tree, if you ask people, how does a tree grow? What makes a tree grow? And one person will say the soil. And one person will say the sun. And one person will say water. And one person will say all different things. Who's right? The answer is, says the Maharal, they're all right. It just depends on your perspective. Depends on your perspective. There are many composite and complex concepts in Halacha, complex not meaning hard to understand, there are those too, but complex meaning not simple. There are many different components of different areas of Halacha. And there's heter components and usher components and chayiv components and potter components. and they're all right. The question is, what's the defining component? So that could be the machlokas, but that is the elu ve'elu, and that always applies, except into a case like ours, where there's a machlokas about what Rabbi Akiva said, unless you say it was earlier and later in the case. And whenever this comes up, just to mention the Ritva in Maseches Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, where Elu Ve'elu is mentioned, where the Ritva quotes the amazing Medrash in the name of the Chachmei Tzarfas, the name of the French rabbis, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim at Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him 49 reasons Latameh and 49 reasons Latahir. 49 of this, 49 of that. And Moshe says, what am I supposed to do with this? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it'll be up to the Rabbanim, Becholder of Adar, to determine what is defining. And I heard recently, a couple of years ago, find it fascinating, the Ha'ara, that it's the Ritva quoting the Rabbani Tzarfas when he quotes that. The Ritva, who's Chachmei Svarad, Dafka, in that case, he's quoting the Rabbani Tzarfas, the French rabbis, to say over this idea of the Memtes Panim for each side. So it's Mamish Elu Ve'elu in the Sugya of Elu Ve'elu. Okay, let's continue. Omar Abaya. Abaya says, Ba'alev Vamesa Pater. So let's get into some other limitations of the payment of knas. What happens if he is ma'aneser, but then before he is able to pay, she dies. The nara dies. Pater, so he is pater from paying. Why? Shene'emar v'nasan la'vi ha'nara v'lo la'vi mesa. Because it says he has to pay the father of the nara and not the avimesa. If she already died, then she's not called nara anymore. That is Abaya. Milsa de pshita leli Abaya mi boy leli Rava. What was obvious to Abaya was not so obvious to Rava. Rava had a shaila about it. We're going to have two versions of Rava. Rashi points out it's the second version of Rava, which has the suffix about this halacha. According to the first version of Rava, which we're about to have, it's not a suffix. He assumes one way for sure about Abaya's statement. The opposite way. He argues on Abaya, according to both studim of his question. But according to the second version of Rava, which we're going to have Bez Hashem a little bit later on the Amud, so according to that version, then he has a suffix about Abaya's din. So let's see the first version. Rava asked the following question. Yesh beggar bekever or ain beggar bekever? Is there a halachic viewing of her maturing even after she dies? Meaning, obviously, she's not getting older. But the status of Bagris, which would be Motzi the Mamon from the father and give it to her, as we know, there are two ways that a woman could go out, a girl could go out of her father's Rishus. Either Bagris or Nisuin. Those two ways, right? If she gets fully married, not Nisarsa. Nisarsa, she's still with her father's Rishus. But if she had Nisuin, and then, right, let's say she's a Ketana, and she had Nisuin, and somehow her husband died. She was married Midaraisa. Her father can't marry off again. Then she's what's called Yisoma B'chayi Ha'af, because her father had no longer has jurisdiction over her. So Nisuin and Bagris. Those are the two ways that she's totally out of her father's Rishus. So what happened if she was a Nara Shen Ne'ensa, and therefore she's owed, the father is owed a Knas, and then she dies, and then she obviously the time for her when she would have become a Bogeres is after she dies. So do we say, what's the halacha question? Yesh beger bekever. Do we say there is bagrus bekever? Udibnahave. And therefore, because before the Gemar Din, she theoretically reached the stage of bagrus, how old she would have been. So, we say the knas does not go to her father, but goes to her yarshim, to her children. So, do we say that? That is bagrus bekever. We don't look at the last time that she was alive, and therefore she was a nara, and she still goes to the father. No. We view it as if now she's, it's out of the chiyuv, because lamaisa, the chiyuv only comes after she would have been a bogeres, so therefore her children should get it. Right, Rashi on the third to last skinny line, imesa bina arusa, ad shelo amda bedin. Right, she died when she was a nara. Vihigiasman bagrusa bekever, michashiv beger alo. Do we say there's bagrus bekever, and therefore next Rashi, vchihechi de imlo ispika lamod bedin ad shebagra, if she was still alive, as the first Mishnah says in the next parak, right? And now she is patata. If she becomes a Bogeres, it's going to go to her and not to her father. So now too, beger bekever mafkia koach ha'av. The Bagris and the kever, meaning Nothing's changing physically in the kever. The question is, halachically, do we view, well, Lamaisa, the father, is getting the knas of his daughter. Well, his daughter's dead now. Yeah, but his daughter's dead, but it's in her schus. But in her schus, well, what age would she be today? So if she would be a bogareth, then the father has no rights to it. And therefore it's going to go to her children. Do we say that? Dipinahave, odilma, ain't bagar bekever. Or do we say, no, there's no bagar bekever, uda aviahave. And therefore, when she died, she stays at that age forever. In terms of this halacha, she's still a nara, and therefore the father would get it. So we see, according as we just mentioned a minute ago, according to both stadim, she does not lose it if she's dead. The only question is, does it go to the father, or does it go to her yarshim? So Rav is sure about that, according to each side of the suffix. So that's, the Gemara wouldn't have prefaced this by saying, oh, Rav is not sure, Rav is vaday sure, against Abaya. So we're going to see in the second version of the question, that's where he's going to have a suffix. Anyway, that's the question here. Do we say yesh bagar bekever or not? Tosfos here discusses, what's the havamina that it would go to her, to what she would be yarshinit to her children? Tosfos and the other Rishonim ask, there is a principle, ein adam morish knas libno. A person is morish mamon libno. A person gives Yerusha to any assets that he has. But knasos, he does not. This will come up in a major way, by the Hashem, in 2 days from now, on the last Amud in the Perek, which is one of the major sugyas and shas about knas, which has come up a few times already in this Perek. So Perek is about knasos. But when does the chiv of knas start, which we've touched on a number of times? That comes up in 2 days from now. But Tosfos already alludes to it here. It says, a person is not morish knas to their children. Because if the knas is not mechuyev yet when the person dies, so it doesn't exist yet. So how could you be yarshin that? Ein adam morish knas labanov, asked Tosfos. So Tosfos gives two answers. Maybe you're right. It's a good question. We're just going to reject this anyway in a few lines. So adifa minei parech. But then Tosfos says, in the name of the Ri, on the fourth line of Tosfos, also saying basically in Achinami, we're not here talking about the knas, we're talking about the boshes and pagam. The other payment, two of the other payments, which are mamon. Basically, Tosfos's both answers say, you're right. Ein adam morish knas libno. But if you look in the Ritva, if you look in the other Achronim, Rav Elchanan expands on this and says, we have sometimes, and we'll have it again later in the Perek, in the Masechta, that there's something besides Yerusha. What does Yerusha mean? Yerusha means the morish dies, and therefore the assets move. The assets move down to the children. But there's another concept in Maseches Kiddushin, also in Baba Basra, called Kam Tachtav. There's a concept that the assets don't move, but the children move. The children step into the shoes of the father, or of the mother if they're Yarshining. Kam Tachtav. And the Ritva says, and the Chobashirim expands upon it, that principle sometimes covers things that Yerusha wouldn't allow for. Because it's not a question of the assets moving, like the assets can't move because the knas doesn't exist yet, possibly. But kam tachta means for certain halachos, the son steps into the shoes of the father. And that could happen even to things that aren't subject to Yerusha. That's what the quotes it from the Ri, let's say, Vitiri Tri, this is in the Ritva now. Vidafa Biknas Shezoche Ha'av Bibito Einu Morisho Labanov. Aval Biknas, I'm sorry, that's in, yeah, he has the line, yeah, I'll read it. Aval Biknas Sheish Lo Adam Likvos Machmas Atzmo. He's Machalik between Knasos that the father's getting through the daughter, which you cannot be Yarshin, versus Knasos that he's Zoche to himself. Knas Sheish Lo Adam Likvos Machmas Atzmo. Ademoris Labanov Afilu Kodem Amadabadin to Yoresh Kara Da'avuahu. Yoresh is the leg of the Avua. So he emphasizes two things. Two different types of knasos. But Rav Elchanan, when he quotes this idea here, he quotes it in the Kovet Shirim in Chelik Beis, Simen Yud Beis. He says that this is a different concept of kam tachtav. You have this by Eved Kenani. You have this by other cases. He says, Umavur di shnei dinim bi Yerusha saben. He calls it two dinim within Yerusha. But you could also say one's Yerusha and one's not Yerusha. Number one, shu zoche b'nechse aviv kishar yarshim, shu zoche b'nechse morishehen. Number two, shahaben kam tachas aviv af kishe eno yoresh bimenu. even if it's not a case of Yerusha. And you find that by certain areas of Halacha. Ulefiza nira, tahadein Torah Yerusha biknas, vatam yishim shadayin lo zocha bo amorish, veinam bechlal nechasav kodem amad abedin. That which we say that you can't be morish a knas to a child, that's by other Yerushim. But by a son? A son? Aval beben hakom tachas aviv v'hariyu kamohu shaper yachol letvoas hamazik v'lo matzal meimer leilav al dvar didiyat. He can't say you are not my baldover. Kamoshi in yachol amar kein lahanizak ba'atzmo de oso koach hatviya shehaya lahaav yish gam lahaben to b'makim aviv ka'i. And that comes up again, as I said, in a number of areas of halacha. So that might be an answer here in certain cases. It could be that, let's say, we're talking here about the children of the daughter. Now, the children of the daughter, if the daughter is the Ba'al HaZdavar, so then, is the father going to get it, or are her children going to get it? That's the suffix of Rava. So it could be that they're kamtachas, their mother, in terms of the ability to be Toveya the Knas. It's coming up in the Gemara. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Umi Ma'abra, wait a minute! Is it possible that she became pregnant? We're talking about a Nara here. A Nara had a Knas, and then she died. So, how could she have a child? The sugi that we had a number of times in Maseches Yevamos. But here it is again. Shalosh nashim mishamshos b'moch. Three types of women use birth control. Use. Does that mean have to use? Does that mean can use? Machlokas, Rashi, Tosfos, and others. Is this an obligation or is this an allowance? Misham shos b'moch, very unclear in the Gemara. The Elohein, who are these three women? Ktana umuberes umenika. A ktana, less than 12, umuberes, she's pregnant, umenika, and a nursing woman. Why? In all these three cases, misham shos b'moch, and there is a danger. Rashi here says, just to allude to what I just said, mutter lahem l'shamesh b'moch. They are allowed to. Interesting that they're allowed to. You would think that if it's a danger, they have to. But Rashi says here they are allowed to. What do you mean? Why wouldn't they be allowed to? The einon kemashchisos zera. It's not called ashchasa zera levatala by practicing this method of birth control. So shalagad b'shas b'mo. Elsewhere, Tosfos says, and Tosfos also here. Look at the fourth line of Tosfos. Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam misham shos tzrichos l'shamish b'mo achar tashmish. They need to. They need to. It's a tova kamashbalan. You don't want to get. You don't want to go into a seder sakana. So, two different machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Also, I think it came up a couple of days ago. Is this talking about something to do before the Maisa Biyah, something to do after the Maisa Biyah to be Shoeves, the Zera? Also a discussion. And here, in this top Tosfos, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who we discussed a couple of days ago already, where Rabbeinu Tam says that theoretically, women are mitzuveh in the Isser of Ashchasa Zera Levatala. It's not directly dependent on the mitzvah puravu. Right in the middle. Da'af api she'eda mitzvah pir yivarivya mikal makom asur hilashchus zera kidmashva benida, like it says in the Nida, the beginning of the second parak, the beginning of Kalayad. So that's again a very large discussion. But here, let's just stick to our Gemara now. So shalodashim mishamshus b'moch. So three women could use this. Ketana uberes meinika. Ketana shemetis aber v'tamos. A ketana, why? If she becomes pregnant, it's considered very dangerous. Mu'uberes shema te'ase ubara sandal. A mu'uberes, the first ubar, the fetus, would be in danger. Because, again, it seems that in the medical knowledge of that time, or the medical science, that the second pregnancy was possible, even after a woman would be already pregnant, that would be dangerous. And therefore what? And therefore, the second pregnancy would be like a rodef, kind of. The first one is the first fetus takes precedence. All right, well, that's the question. What do you mean? If the mother's life is a danger, just the fetus, but the fetus is not alive yet, so that's also a major topic. Is the fetus alive? What does Judaism believe? Life does not begin at fertilization. We do not hold like the Christians that you can never do an abortion, period, period, period. We say you can do an abortion if the mother's life is in danger. That's you're a have to. It's a chiv to do an abortion if the mother's life is in danger. So what is the status of a fetus before birth? Somewhere in the middle. There's a famous discussion in the Rambam based on a Gemara in Arachin when the status starts. Right when the baby starts coming out, okay, it's alive. But even beforehand, you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to kill it. You're not allowed to do apala. But beforehand, if the mother's life's in danger, the Rambam has a formulation where he says the baby is a rodef on the mother. And the big question is, why do you have to say rodef? Just say the baby's not alive yet. This is alive and this is alive. So again, a very labedic discussion there. But here too, here this relates to it, that mu'uberes, we don't allow a second pregnancy because the first one. Remember, we're machal Shabbos for a fetus. So does that mean that it's some type of a nefesh? Or does that mean that no? Based on the svara of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kadesha Yishmar Shabbosos Harbei, that svara could apply even if the baby's not alive yet. You know, do something so the baby will stay, right? That it doesn't say V'chai Bahem Elosh Yamas Bahem. Remember, there are six different sources. Those are the two, the most important ones, the ones that we paskin. And Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma. V'chai Bahem, they shall live. The baby's not alive yet. But Chalal Shabbos Achas, the Ramban says that svar applies even to a fetus who's not alive yet, because you want to save this baby in order to give him the possibility to keep future Shabbosos. So anyway, the Brisa says here that a Muberes is allowed to practice birth control if it's dangerous for the fetus. Meinika. So here already Shema Tikmal Espina. Here, if she becomes pregnant when nursing, this we know about, that she could lose her milk, and therefore that's dangerous for the baby if there's no substitutes, right? I don't think there was too many formulas in the days of the Talmud. So it could be dangerous, so that's why Sheba Tikmal Espina, it would be dangerous. So those three don't get cannot become pregnant. They shouldn't become pregnant. They say, "Oh, Iktana, who is Iktana? Mibas Achas Reishana V'yom Echad, Ad Shtemes Reishana V'yom Echad." Right, the year before. Pachos mikan v'yeser alkein, meshameshes kedarka v'oleches, divrei Rebbe Meir. So younger than 11 and older than 12, so that's fine, right? Why? Younger than 11, she's not going to become pregnant, and older, it's not dangerous anymore. That's Rebbe Meir. The Chachamim Omrim, and the Chachamim had their famous shita, achazu v'achazu meshameshes kedarka v'oleches. No, don't worry, just let them be with their husbands naturally, and don't worry about it. Umin hashamayim yirachamu. And from heaven they will have rachmanis. Mishum shenemar, shomer psoim Hashem. The principle of God guards those who are naive, those who are petty, naive, and not in a negative way, just in a way of the simpletons. Simpletons, that's another translation of it. But what do you see from here? That, how is she becoming pregnant in this, we're saying, oh, the Nara, when she died, oh, she's her children. What children? She didn't have a child when she was a Ktana. So what, she had a child when she was a Nara? Oh, everything happened when she was a Nara. Right, that can't be. 6 months? The whole thing start to finish? 6 months? We know Naras only last 6 months. So therefore what? She became pregnant right away and then she had a baby at the end of 6 months? And if you want to say that less, maybe the line of Shmuel is saying that Na'arus is no less than 6 months, but it can be more than 6 months. Ha'ela ka'amar. It says Ella, meaning only 6 months. So therefore, what exactly is the Hechitimsi here that Rava is asking about? So that's the question, and that is why, let's just, I guess, just finish this line, and then we'll talk about Shomer Psalm a little bit. So, El Ha'achim Yubayalais. That's why the Gemara says, you know what? We're going to change the question that Rava asked. And this is what Rashi says right here. This is what was being referred to before, that Rava had a suffix about a biased statement. As follows. El Ha'achim Yubayalais. Yesh Beger Bekever Upaka'av. Do we say this? Bagris Bekever. And therefore, nobody gets the Knas. Upaka'av. Right, and then the Ma'anis doesn't have to pay. Why? Right, that's the side meaning he has to pay. Oh, Dilma, ain't bagar bekever velo paka'av. Or there's no bagras bekever, and the father does not lose his stake in it. So that's related to the question of Abaye before, whether something is lost totally or not. Period. Stop there for a moment. A couple of points to mention. The concept of Shomer Psalm Hashem is a major halachic topic that basically is all about what is acceptable risks to take in halacha. That's what we're saying here. Shomer Psalm, what are the Rabbanan saying? The Rabbanan aren't saying you could do something you could walk in front of a car. They're not saying that Shomer Psalm Hashem. That's not a pesi. That's just a fool, right? That's not Shoreb Psalm Hashem. Shoreb Psalm Hashem means that there are certain basic risks that are considered acceptable to society that people do. And therefore, once it becomes an acceptable risk, so then it is not considered a violation of a Nishmartem Ol V'Nafsho Seichem to take those risks, to drive a car. To drive a car, to go on an airplane, to cross the street on the when you're supposed to cross the street, right? To walk outside, to eat fast food. You know, all these cases, people do it. There's a certain level of danger to it. There's a certain level, but that's Shomer Psoim Hashem. So that's what's interesting. In certain areas, you get to the gray area of is this considered acceptable? There are certain types of sports that certain poskim are not in favor of. Because, what do you mean? It's inherently dangerous, right? And others would say, no, if so many people do it, you know, Shomer Psoim Hashem. So you have to, everything is, right, so is a discussion, right? This is the famous discussion of smoking, right? Is smoking Shomer Psoim Hashem? And everybody quotes the Rav Moshe. That's the Rav Moshe. Oh, Rav Moshe says it's mutter. And I always like to point out that we can't quote Rav Moshe Bizmanazet. Because if you read Rav Moshe's six tshuvas over 5 decades about this topic, you see that Rav Moshe is moving from no problem to I'm not so sure. It's passive smoking is usher. It's really something that you shouldn't be doing. So, could you quote Rav Moshe to say that it's usher? No, you can't quote that. But could you quote Rav Moshe to say that it's mutter today? I don't think you can quote that either. I don't think you can quote that we know Vadai. His Talmud, the Rivos Ephraim, Ephraim Greenblatt, he answered it. Many folks can say, why? Because they say now, with all the research that we know today, it has passed the threshold of Shomer Psoim Hashem. Maybe originally, remember in the early days, the Pnei Yeshua thought it was healthy, right? That's what he talks about, smoking on Yontif, about whether it's a Davar Hashem Alechol Nefesh. We spoke about that on Dav Zayin earlier in the Masechta. But that is a question. But just to quote one of the early Tshuvas, Rav Moshe, in Yoredeya Chelek Beis. This one is in 1964, this Tshuva. But again, this was the second Tshuva, this one. Hinei bedvar ishin sigariot, vadai, mikivan sheish chash lehischalos mizeh. The first Tshuva, he didn't say anything. But then this Tshuva, simen there's a chash to get sick, min haroy lehizor bazeh. You know, people don't remember that line of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said it's really not okay. Right, the bal nefesh yachmir, that's basically what he's saying. Right, so again, Rachman al-Islan, if somebody is sick and he has to go look for help, but definitely this is Rav Moshe doesn't say you don't have to worry about this on Purim, Rachman al-Islan. You know, Rav Moshe says every day of the year you get violated Yisurim. Avalomar sha aser me iser sakanta mikiva tadashu barabim kvar isa begemara bekiyagavna shomer psoim Hashem. So he quotes Ove Prat in the 1960s. Shekamag dole Torah midoro she'avru ubedorenu shema'ashnin. So many people do. Ume meila afle elu shema'chmirin lachush la'sakana leke iser lefnei iver boshatas eish uvegafrun lemi shema'ashen. Again, that was in the 1960s. As he continued, he has a tshuva about marijuana. He has a tshuva about the tshuva. My father begged him to aser it. One of the later tshuvas was written to him, and Rav Moshe stood his ground. So it is ground in terms of the percentages, how many millions and millions of people smoke, and how many millions of people get sick. So it's still it's not a majority, it's a large number, but it's getting larger. Because now we know even more research in terms of the sicknesses that are related, not just lung cancer or lung disease, but there's a lot of other things related. So again, nobody knows what Rav Moshe would say now, but at least in the earlier days, Rav Moshe used this principle of Shomer Psoim Hashem to say, it's still considered an acceptable risk. But he still says, Yesh li Zoher, even then, many, many years ago. Okay, let's continue. And it comes up other contexts as well, but we'll continue. Also, how to determine Bagrus and Naris, there's an interesting Ramah in Evan Ezer. In Simon Dalid, in Evan Ezer, the Ramah discusses what do you go by in terms of determining the age of the girl. The Ramah in Evan Ezer in Simon Dalid, Yud Dalid, the Ramah discusses how do you determine for Havchana purposes. Let's just try to read this quickly. He says, Isha Shinis Abra Mibaila, Sof's, You know what, I'm not going to want to read it inside because there's a lot more to discuss today, but that's the Ukuluk L'Ramah in determining years. This also, it came up also in last week's Parsha, where Rashi mentions that the minyan that took place after the Egel, and that took place later on in the 6 months later, by the Hakamas HaMishkan, Rashi points out those were two different minyanim, but the numbers were the same. Why? Because it was really the same year in terms of determining the national year, beginning of next week's parsha, the national year of Klal Yisrael, you go by Nisan, but everybody's birth year, you went by Tishrei. So that's why Rashi says they're the same. It worked out to be the same number, 605,000, whatever the exact number was. And the Rabban asked on Rashi, I don't understand. Did everybody have the same birthday? Even if you go by everybody, it starts with Tishrei. By Tishrei, does everybody have a birthday, happy birthday, and everybody's year changes? So in halacha, sometimes you have a question of when do you determine the new year, but that's what this Ramah discusses in terms of Na'arus, how do you determine her status. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Mar Baravashi boy lahachi. Mar Baravashi had the following suffix. Misa oseb bagris o ein oseb bagris. That's how he formulated it. Does Misa do the same thing as Bagrus, meaning Bogaris takes her out of her father's Rishus, so so too Misa, and therefore he wouldn't get the Knas? Oh, ain't all so Bagrus, so Teku, we are not sure about that. Boy mine Rava me Abaya. Ba'ala vinis arsa mahu. What happens if he was with her, he was ma'aneser, and then she was nis'ares afterwards? She was nis'ares afterwards. So what have we been talking about for the past daf? What happened if she had Arison beforehand? Now we're talking about what if she has Arison afterwards. So Amarle. So Abaya says, Miksiv and Asan Lavi Anara Asher Lo Arusa. Does it say that? That you have to give it to the Avi Anara, that she's not Nisares? What? There's no limit in the Pasik. So the father should get it even in this case. Square says Ula Taime, Chadatanya Ba'alev and Isais. La Atzma. We know the halacha is if she had Nisuin, then for sure she gets it. Miksiv and Asan Lavi Anara Shalo Nisua. Right, so what do you mean? The father, there's no limit in the pasuk. The father should always get it. That according to you, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Hachi Ashta, Hasam, by Nisuin, Halu Bagris Motzia Mirshus Av, Vinisuin Motzia Mirshus Av. Just like Bagris is Motzi, and Nisuin is Motzi. So Ma Bagris Baleo Bagra La Atzma, Av Nisuin Baleo Vinisis La Atzma. I understand by Nisuin that she's not in the Rishus of her father anymore, and even though when the act occurred, she was in the Rishus of the father, but you can understand, now there's a total break, like we said earlier. Ella Erisin, Mika Mafki Me Rishusa Da'av L'Gamre. But if there was Erisin, she's not totally out of the father's picture. Hatnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Nedarim. Nara Hamorasa Avia Ubala Mefir L'Nedarel. Right, we learned that she's, by Arison, okay, the father has to share the jurisdiction, but he's still involved. So that's why the question could still be asked if she had Arison, and Abaya answered that, you know, it's still the father would still get it in that case, just Nisuin would be different. So this is the makar that the father is still in the daughter is still in the rishus during Arison. Rashi notes here, as the pasuk says, that, In Parshas Matos, that when she was in Arusa, she needs the father and the husband to be Mefer, Bi Shutfis. The Shilin Kubetzis here says, even though sometimes we say Nidarim is called Isser, and Mamona Mi'isura Lo Yalfinan, for this regard is good enough, because all we're trying to say is to see something that the father still is in the world of the daughter for Erisin, so this is good enough, even though it's not exactly the same halachic context. Okay, right, Tosfos also, by the way, I'm sorry, not just the Shita, Tosfos also mentions in Dibur Maskel Hoel, V'aval gav d'kayim alon d'mona mi'isura lo yafinan, mikol makom lo ukma b'rishus av, hu d'lo yafinan mamona mi'isura. Aval afuki mi'rishus av is a little differently, to take her out of the rishus of the father, you can learn from a first adarim, etc. Tosfos discusses that issue. Okay, next Mishnah. Hamefata nosein shlosha dvarim v'ha'ones arba. We've been comparing Ones and Mefatah so far in this parak. They're both Chayv Knas, but now the Gemara Mishnah says there are differences between them. A Mefatah pays 3 payments besides the Knas, and the Ones pays 4 payments besides the Knas. Ha Mefatah Nosein Boshes Upigam V'Knas. The Mefatah pays Boshes, Pigam, and Knas, those 3. Most of Alav Ones Shenosein Tzar. Ones also pays Tzar And because, as the Gemara will see, we'll say that an net and nas doesn't have tsar. Ma bein onis l'mafate, onis knows it is a tsar, v'mafate ina nos ein es ha-tsar. The Pnei Yeshua discusses here, you can look why it has to repeat the same halacha one line after it just said it. But also, there's another difference. Besides the tsar, ha-ones nos ein miyad, in a ma'anes has to pay right away the knas, and also get married. He pays the knas and velosia leisha. V'amefata lekisha yotzi. The mefata only when he is motzi, which the Gemara will say, when he chooses not to marry. The mefata has a choice whether to marry the mefuta, and if he chooses not to, then he has to pay the knas. But if he marries her, he does not have to pay the knas. Ha'ones shose ba'atitzo. An ones, a ma'anes, literally has to drink from his flower pot. Meaning, he has no choice. He has to marry the ne'anas no matter what. Right, Otz is a flower pot. The Shid Mukubesis is Lashon here in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah. Sometimes flower pots are dirty, sometimes they're muddy, but it doesn't matter. Rotelo Marfil Ye Ka'atz Ma'us, She'enu Mol El Lizroabo. The only goodness of this flower pot is just to plant in it, to seed in it. Still, doesn't matter. That's what you have to do because this is what you did. But Mafate, Mratzaloti Motzi. Right, and the Mafate has the choice. Keitzah Shose Batzitzo, what exactly does that mean? Afilu hi chigeres, afilu hi sumav, afilu mukachrin. Even if there's something majorly defective and inferior about her, still, he has a chiyav, velosia leisha, and he can never divorce her. Nimsa ba devar erva, o she'ena ru'uya lavo bak b'Yisrael. If there's a halachic reason that he's not allowed to marry her, so then, ena rasha lakayma, then he doesn't. She'ne'emar velosia leisha, isha haru'uya lo. Remember at the beginning of the perek, when this came up, we mentioned the fascinating Zohar that the Maharal talks about in Tiferes Yisrael, where he compares kafalem harkagigis to this halacha of alosihi eliisha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was ma'anes klal Yisrael, so that he would never be able to divorce us. No matter what we do, you might say, well, sometimes halachically, we are mezaneh, so to speak, avodah zarah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never allowed to divorce us. He created an absolute relationship between him and Am Yisrael forever, the Am HaNivchar, and that this halacha, velosia leisha lo yuchal shalcha kol yama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made that promise to us. No matter how far we stray, we can always come back. Says the Gemara, tsar demai. So which tsar are we talking about here that is paid for, that there's a difference between ones and mefata? That ones pays for this, and mefata does not pay for it. What tsar are we talking about? Tsar demai. Says Tosfos, question on the question. Kashalari, bottom Tosfos. Demai kami boile, what's the Gemara asking? V'chilo yada hashas, sheyesh tsar gadol lebesula bebe'ir rishona. V'kama ktanos cholos vizeh. I don't understand, we know what the tsar is. The tsar of the Maisabia. So what's the whole Gemara's question? Of course that we know what the tsar is. So Tosfos says, v'nira lari, the tsar be'ila mishum taivas tashmish, eno ba b'shas tashmish. Ela acharkach. The issue is, at the moment of the Maisa Bia, the enjoyment might override, and the pain might only be felt afterwards. The kol tsar hachavala demechayev hainu oso atzar habalo b'shas chavala. And usually, tsar that you pay at the time of, for chavala, right, the five payments of nezek, tsar, ripui, sheves, and boshes, that tsar is the tsar that you cause at the moment of the wounding. But if I cause pain later on, a delayed pain, so that's not so clear. And that's what the Gemara is asking about. That's why the Gemara asks. Because if it's a delayed tsar, then maybe that's not the normal case of chavala, what would be responsible for. The Chashuke Chemed here asks, what about this case? She'ela. There is a hospital worker that is wheeling somebody after an operation into a hospital room. And as he's wheeling, he wasn't careful enough and he got the chole's leg caught. That doesn't say exactly what happened, but something serious, it seems like. But the chole did not feel it right now because he's under total anesthesia. Generally, he's sleeping. He doesn't feel the pain, and he only feels the pain afterwards. When he wakes up, he feels the pain. So, is a person chayiv for that pain? Obviously, chayiv for chavala. What about tsar? Hey, he chayiv, but made tsar alos. He quotes, hey! Where in Shas does it talk about delayed pain? Right here, Tosas Exubus Lamitas. You gotta have Shas on your fingertips to be able to quote this out of left field. But he quotes this. He says, "Oh, mevor betosfus dematzar lo ba b'shas chavala har yu nechshav grama ba'alma ve'en al kach yiv tashlumin." So lechora, he wouldn't be. He would be potter. But then he says, "I'm not so sure." Could you compare this case, the case where he has pay now, he's just forcibly sleeping, right? The anesthesia is not letting him feel it. So is that the same as pleasure at the same time as the pain? So that might be, it could be the same, but it could be different. It could be that in the case of the pleasure over the pain, so this is natural that I'm not feeling the pain now because I'm also getting pleasure now. So that it's only delayed. But here, I'm having pain now. I'm just not feeling it because there's an external forcing me of not allowing myself to feel it because of the drugs. So that's his shaila. Interesting in terms of the delayed pain. Do you say it's the same thing with an external force? Anyway, back to the Gemara's question. So tsar or demai. So what tsar are we talking about here? So, a couple of answers. Number one, Amar Rav Shmuel Tsar Shechavta Gabi Karka. Number one, maybe it's the tsar because when a person is ma'anes, when a person rapes instead of mafateh, he's much more physical. Much more physical in terms of forcibly being with his woman. So maybe that's from the physical pain of being forced even before the act. So that's the pain that we're talking about. So Maskav La Rabbi Zera, but 1 minute. If he didn't hurt her beforehand, that he pushed her on through a very soft bed, so should he be pater in that case? The only pain we're talking about is the prior pain, where he's physical with her. So if you want to say that's true, that's not true. The ones does not pay for tsar. Why? Rabbi Shimon holds, right? That's not what our Mishnah holds. Why? Because, well, she's going to have this pain anyway when she would have gotten married. So therefore, he doesn't have to pay for it, says Rabbi Shimon. And Amrulo, they said back then, that's not true. Ain't a doma, nevelas ba'ones, then nevelas baratzon. It's still ain't a doma, nevelas ba'ones and baratzon. So, what's the Gemara's question? The husband's not going to be nechpata of gabi karka. The husband's not going to be so physical beforehand. So that can't be the tsar. So you see, we're not talking about that type of tsar, of the being forcefully beforehand. So, Ella, second try. Amar of Nachman, Amar Abba Baravu, at tsar shall pisa karaglayim. The tsar of spreading one's legs beforehand in a forcible way, you might say. Right, that's the mashal of that is said in the Navi, what Am Yisrael did in terms of going over to other beliefs, and the mashal given of the Ritva, that even though it's a gnai, that she's mafkeres atzma, and even though there's tsar involved, but still she does it. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Yachi mefuta nami, but a mefuta also has that pain. Of again being uncomfortable, being in that uncomfortable position. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, no. Mashal de mafuta lamada redome la adam shamar lechaveira karashi rain shall be pater. She's basically mocheles by a mafuta. It's worth it for her. She's ready to say, you know, like the mashal. Somebody says, "Rip my clothing and be pater." So it's as if she's saying that when she is being biratzon. Tosis points out in Dibur Maskul Kara, an important ha'ara. We know from other Gemaras that only works. If somebody comes over to me and says, "Yeah, you want to rip this for me, please?" That if I rip it, I'm still chayv to pay, unless he says, "Rip it and be potter." You have to add that explicit exemption. Rip it and be potter. So, you didn't say that here. So Tosva says, it's as if she said it. V'yavagav delo amra amanas liftar, ika lameyma demachmas hana'as be'ila machla legamre. It's still enough in this regard. The Gemara elsewhere talks about the distinction between monetary matters and physical. Meaning, if somebody comes over to me and says, "Here, rip this for me and be pater," so then the halach is pater. What if somebody says, come over to me and says, "Punch me and be pater, hurt me and be pater," so ends, that's not so simple that you're going to be pater, because a person is not a bialim on their body. I can rip my own shirt, and I can tell you to rip the shirt and be pater. I'm not allowed to punch myself. I'm not allowed to inflict wounding on myself. So that's not so simple. You can't just say, okay. So here, is it like inflicting on the body? So it's pain. It's not other types of chavala. It's just the pain. So that's why the Gemara doesn't get into it here. But the Gemara says, 1 second. Sheli davuaninu. But how could she be mocheles if her father's supposed to get the knas? Then how could she be mocheles? We give the mashal of, you know, do this to me and be potter. She can't be mochelas on her father's payment. Sela Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Bar Avua, Pikchos Shebahen Omros Mefuta Ein Latzar. No, the Pikchos, amongst them, the women say, amongst them, that a Mefuta doesn't have Tsar. And we're talking about the Tsar of the of this side that we're talking about, of the Pisak Raglaim, of the act itself. V'haka chazina de isla, don't we see that there is some type of tsar? So the following Amoraim say that no, it's not like a tsar that is one has to halachically take into account. It's negligible. Amar Abaya Amra Li Aim, my aim. Remember Abaya was the orphan, and therefore he learned a lot of things from his nurse mother. Kamaya chamimi areisha dekarach. It's like pouring some hot water on a head, meaning a little bit, little drop of pain. Rava Amar Amrali Basra Chizda, my wife told me, ki ribda dekusilta. It's like a pinch when you get bloodlet, the first prick of the needle. Rav Papa Amar Amrali Bas Abasora, ki nama akushi bekinchi. It's like a rubbing hard bread on your palate. So again, a little bit, but not halachically significant. So the Gemara's Lamaisa Maskana is, it's not the pain that we're talking about here. We're not talking about the pain of the prior, what happens beforehand, but we're talking about the Maisa B itself, basically. And by Ones, because of the situation, there is pain involved, unlike in a case of Mefata, and that's the difference in terms of what is paid. Period. What's the other difference? The Mishnah says, Ha'ones nosin miyada mafata l'kishayotzi v'chulu. The Ones, the Manes, has to pay right away, and the Mafata is only if he chooses not to marry. L'kishayotzi ishtohi. What do you mean? When he, so I mistranslated that. L'kishayotzi means when he divorces her. When he divorces her, ishtohi. Are they married yet? They're not married yet. Amar Abaya dil ema l'kishalo yichnos. If he decides not to marry her, so that's when he has to pay the knas in a case of mifate. There is a shiloh, the Mishnah Malach has the safek. If a man is mifate, a woman who is asuralo. If he's a mifate, a woman is asuralo. So he's not allowed to marry her. So he has to pay the knas. What if he does marry her? Is he putter from the knas? Because he wasn't allowed to marry her. That's a classic Mishnah L'melech type of question. Mishnah L'melech, Minchas Chinuch, right? He's supposed to pay. What if he didn't pay? And the rule is by Mefateh, if you pay, you don't have to pay the Knas. If you get married, you don't have to pay the Knas. What if he married her Be'isser? Do you have to pay the Knas or not? Because he wasn't supposed to. So that's the question of the Mishnah L'melech. Tani Na Mihachi, back to our Gemara. Avobi Sha'amra Mefateh Nosin L'kisha Lo Yechnos. Even though Mefateh pays only when he decides not to marry, Boshes U'Pegam Nosin Miyad. So that's an important line, that all the payments don't go together. The knas and the boshes and pagam are different. Knas is specifically dependent if you don't marry. Boshes and pagam, the embarrassment, and the pagam, the nezek, so that you pay right away. Ve'echad ha'ones ve'echad ha'mafata bein hi bein avia yokolo ma'akev. And also, in any case, she or her father could decide, we don't want this marriage to go through, we're not interested. Bishlama mafuta ksiv imma'ein yima'ein avia by mafuta, there's a double lashon. So we know that it's both. Ein li ela avia hi aspa minayin tamalomar yima ein makom makom. Ela ones, what about ones? Bishlama ihi ksiv velo tihye midaita. We know that she has the right of refusal by ones. Ela avia minol, and how do you know her father has the right of refusal by ones? The Gemara has two suggestions. Amar Abaya shalo yechote niskar. Number one, because of the counter pressure, what the Ma'anes is not going to have to pay the knas he will be able to do what he wants to do, even if the father has other thoughts about it, that thinks it's not a good idea. That's not fair. He was the violator. He was the attacker. So it's not fair that if the father thinks that it shouldn't be done, that it will be done. So that's Shelo Yechotei Niskar. Rabbi Chanan points out here that this clearly shows that Svara is on a Daraisa level. We had earlier in the Perek, he points out that it sounds like it was Drabanan, but here you have it even on a Daraisa level, giving the father ability to refuse. Right? That's a Din Daraisa. Rava Amar Kalvachomer. Rava says it's a Kalvachomer, that the father has the ability of refusal by Ones. Where do you have that? What's the Kavachomer? Uma mefate shelo over ela aldasa via bilvan. By mefate, where she violated her father's, right? He violated the father. He didn't violate her. She was Baratzon in the end. But in a case where he only violated the father's das, there bein he bein avia yocholon la'akev, then both of them have the right of refusal. So ones, she over aldasa via bilvan. Ones, he did something even worse. So l'kol shekein, surely the father should be able to have the right of refusal. So two svaras. Why didn't each of them hold of the other one svara? Rava lo amar kabaya. Rava didn't like the choti niskar line. Why? Kiva to come mishalim knas lav choti niskar hu. Remember, he's going to either have to marry or pay the knas. So that he's going to get off scot free. So it's not called choti niskar. What would I answer back? Yeah, marrying is a big difference than marrying and not marrying is much more serious issue than just paying a knas. But that's Rava. Abaya lo amar karava. Abaya didn't like the kavachomer of Rava. Why? Because you can say the following svara. Mifate d'ihu matzi ma'akev, avianami matzi ma'akev. Mifate, the mifate himself could choose not to marry. So that's why it makes sense that there's a lot more rights of refusal in this case. So the father also. Ones d'ihu lo matzi ma'akev, but by an ones, the me'anes has no choice. He has no choice. So maybe here too, avianami lo matzi ma'akev. Maybe it's only totally on her. Only totally on her, whatever she wants. So that's why he didn't like the kavachomer. Tanya idach l'braisa also says, a new halacha. Even though ones has to pay right away, right? Ones pays even whether marriage or not. When he divorces her, he doesn't have to pay something new. Meaning, the money for the knas counts as ksuba money. That's the chiddush of this Tanya Idach. If the ma'anis marries her and then wants to divorce her, that counts as ksuba money. Says the Gemara, Kisha Yotzi mi Matzi Mafikla. What do you mean when he divorced her? He's never allowed to divorce her. Ema, Kisha Teitzei he, meaning when she would decide that she wants out. Ein la alav klum. She can't get anything else from him, he already paid the knas. Mace, if he dies, Yatza Kesef Knas, a big subasa, same thing. The Kesef of the knas, you know, was in lieu of the ksuba, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the ksuba. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Yesh la ksuba mana. No, there is a ksuba. There is a ksuba, mana, right? She's not a psula anymore. She's a ba'ula. So she does get a ksuba. But like Mifligi, what's the machlokas about? Rabbanan Savri, time in my takini Rabbanan ksuba. Why did the Rabbanan enact a ksuba? We discussed that length earlier. Ksuba da raisa, ksuba da Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan make a ksuba? Kadesh lo tehe kalabein of lotzia. So that it is not easy for him to divorce his wife. V'halo masi mafikla. And here he can't divorce her anyway. So you don't need the ksuba deterrent. He can never divorce her. So that's why there's no ksuba, according to the Tanakhama. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no. Hanami mitzarla, he could still make her life miserable. Even though he can't divorce, he can make her life miserable. Ada amra hi lo b'ina l'cha. Until she says, no, I want out, I want out. So there's still a reason to have ksuba, and that's why the second opinion is that she has a ksuba of a mana. Not for now, but the Chashuki Chemed here also discusses the case of Kara Shirayan Shalivi Hipater. Cases of being mochel on Dini Mamanis elements. You know, what cases that works? When do you have to say Beferish? When do you say not? He has a case where there was an older man, I forget, it's a theoretical case, an older man that was begging his neighbor to take him to a certain outdoor concert of Chazonis. And he's begging and begging him, and finally says, okay, fine. But it was very cold outside. And when the neighbor took him, he got very sick. Many doctor's bills, etc. So could the old man say, well, it's your fault you took me? He said, but you were begging me to take me. So you say, right, so that's a kind of case where a person can be mochel on something, so that's not even clothing, that's not on the body, so that's a question that he deals with relating to our issue. Okay, we'll stop here by Ones. Again, tomorrow's daf will be put up from the last cycle, and Beis Hashem will continue afterwards with the last daf here in the third parak. Okay, we'll stop here.